Good morning. I'm laughing, and you'll see in a second why. Happy Father's Day. Thank you. Glad that you are here this morning, and those joining us online, and those in Kindred. If you have a Bible, Proverbs 27, and we'll have ushers coming down the aisles. If you need to borrow a Bible this morning, slip your hand up, and they'll get one to you, and you can borrow that this morning. Take it home if you need it. Before we jump into the passage this morning, I'm Anthony. Pastor Anthony mentioned already the year end. I just also want to mention that a little bit to let you know. Thank you, first of all, for your generosity and time, talents, and treasures. We would not be able to do what we're doing without your generosity. To reach the budget goal in the next 2 weeks, we are short $200,000, and that's above normal giving. So in the next couple weeks, if the Lord should lay it on your heart, and by the way, this is a really easy fix. If you give $2, just count more zeros. If you give $20 or $200, no, really, if the Lord should lay it on your heart, and that's what we depend on. We're not manipulation, not constant announcements. We trust the Lord to be faithful and to provide for the mission that he has called us to. And so there's offering boxes in the back. You can go online to bethelfc.com/give. You can come into the church office, however the Lord shall lead. And we'll just leave that in the Lord's hand and trust him. Since it's Father's Day, I feel obligated to tell at least one dad joke. Why do fathers take an extra pair of socks when they go golfing? In case they get a hole in one. Good job, Joe. Now that I've done my duty, we're going to be in Proverbs 27. So Proverbs 27 is one of the most practical chapters in Proverbs. It's kind of difficult as you read through it to find kind of a thread or a theme that goes all the way through. But there are some shorter threads that tie different parts together. And as I studied the passage, one of the more intriguing threads was friendship. I was reminded of the effort and the time that it takes to live an authentic and genuine friendship with other people. Because of the effort and time it takes to pursue a true, genuine friendship, we often settle for shallow relationships because they're easier. They're more comfortable. They take less time, less energy. There are four characteristics found in genuine friendships that we find in this Proverbs. Friends tell the truth. Friends encourage. Friends stay close. And friends help you grow. Friend means to love or to favor. And we often think and use the word for friend in relation to peer relationships. That's usually what we think of right away. But it can also be used in any context of a relationship where love and mutual trust and honesty and support are present. In relationships other than peer, the word friend is like a secondary description. I could say like, Lori is my wife and my best friend. Brianna is my daughter and my friend. So here we go. Friends speak honestly, verses 5 and 6. The idea of the term tough love has been around since biblical times. Tough love is defined as love or affectionate concern is purposed to promote responsible behavior. Verse 5 and 6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Open rebuke refers to the confronting someone's misbehavior faithfully and truthfully. The goal is always correction. It's to help a friend turn back to the path that is right. And these wounds become a healing balm like medicine to a sick soul. Their words can be trusted in this kind of a relationship. As you might imagine, if the recipient of the tough love or the open rebuke is not settled or is not confident in the person delivering the message, it will undoubtedly be perceived as harsh or wounding. But when the message is delivered out of a deep love for the recipient, it's much more willing to receive the correction. In the same way, open rebuke is intended for the good of the recipient, so are the wounds from a friend. A genuine friend won't back away from the truth. But the key word is genuine, because a genuine friend is being real, they're being authentic, they're being sincere, but it's without pretense, it's without manipulation, it's without hidden motives. They will be honest and say what needs to be said, even if it hurts. The wounds of a friend are faithful because a true friend's candid speech is based on a relationship that is loyal, sincere, trustworthy, and authentic. We can rely on a friend who cares enough not to hide his or her true feelings. But a contemporary translation might say it like this: you can trust a friend who corrects you. Ephesians 4:15 reinforces this thought, saying, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect and respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Whether we call it tough love, whether we call it open rebuke, whether we call it correction, it must always have love as the principal motive. Love tells the truth. Truth without love is brutality. Love without truth is hypocrisy. Genuine friendship does both. David and Nathan is a great example. When David sinned with Bathsheba, the prophet Nathan confronted him. That conversation had to be painful, but it saved David from continuing in this deception. And Nathan wounded David, but the wound healed him. This certainly ought to remind us to choose our friends wisely. The Bible gives warnings about the wrong types of friends, warning us against those who entice us to do wrong. Those whose feet rush to sin should be avoided at all costs. When someone who's been addicted to drugs or alcohol and they seek treatment and recovery, one of the phrases that they will often hear is, you need to change your playground. Meaning, if you want to recover, you cannot continue hanging around those whose intent is to lure you back in through their unwillingness to seek help themselves. In John 15:50, we learn that the most genuine friend we will ever have is Jesus. He proved his commitment and affection for us in a convincing way. He says this: greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. Who has loved you enough to tell you what you need to hear than what you just want to hear? In the movie A Few Good Men, there's several famous quotes and lines in that movie. There's this question and answer scene, and the questions, you want answers? And the response was, I want the truth. And then the famous line, you can't handle the truth. That line has shaped our culture in some ways and some of our circles of friends. We prefer comfort over correction. We prefer approval over accountability. We prefer people who tell us what we want to hear. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but an enemy multiplies kisses. The kisses symbolize flattery, excessive praise, or affection that isn't sincere. An enemy may tell you what you want to hear rather than what you need to hear. And many surround themselves with voices that affirm them, but growth rarely happens through affirmation alone. Growth often comes through corrective, but most importantly, loving confrontation. Who in your life has permission to challenge you? Who could tell you when you're drifting? When was the last time someone corrected you? When was the last time you asked, what is one blind spot I may not be seeing? And then you listened. When you were young, or those of us who are still young, I'm just going to use the the age range of, let's say, 59 and under, younger people. You know what? In about a month, I get to tee off from the Whites. I'm looking forward to that. Actually, I already play the Whites, but that's okay. Maybe you've heard the phrase from others out of frustration or even out of anger, things like, you don't always get to be the leader. You remember when you were a little kid, right? You don't always get to go first. You don't always get to be it. Let me add one more to the list. You don't always get to be the truth teller. The one who offers rebuke. Or the one causing wounds. Even if your motive, you believe your motive is pure, genuine friendships are a two-way street. I have a few props up here. Some of them I didn't have up here and somebody put on here. So we'll figure out how to use those. I've got to figure out how to use this. But imagine this here. Can you hear me? Have you known anybody like this in your life, a relationship with you? They always have the megaphone. They're always the one speaking the truth into your life. Hey, you may not have noticed, but you need to change this in your life. You may not be aware, but the scripture says this. You may not know, but you're not really acting like a Christian husband or a Christian wife. And they always have the megaphone. They're always the ones speaking truth into your life. They're always the ones being honest with you. You know anybody like that? Genuine friendships are a two-way street. I've been around people who take the role of truth-telling very seriously. You heard me correctly. People who only truth-tell like a serial killer. Do you know people like that? People who always have the megaphone in their hands. Friends speak honestly. A genuine friendship shares the megaphone. Speaks honestly and truth to one another. Secondly, friends encourage. Verse 9. It says, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Perfume and oil and incense, these were these luxuries. They brought joy, refreshment, and honor. Pleasant fragrances that refresh and lift the spirit. A genuine friend's words of encouragement refresh the soul like perfume refreshes the senses. People can survive for a time without many things, but few can survive without encouragement. We often underestimate the power of encouragement. A single discouraging comment can linger for years, but one timely word of encouragement can change a person's entire outlook, the direction of a person's life. Genuine friends don't just act as truth tellers, as we looked at just a moment ago. According to verse 9, they also refresh the heart. I think a good principle for life in many different areas of life is the word balance. Life is full of all kinds of tensions that require balance. Work and home balance, right? Truth and grace, speaking and listening, rest and productivity, confidence and humility, giving and receiving, planning and following, faith and action, being and doing. Balance in areas of life. Keep one side of the equation from dominating the other, because without balance, life tends to drift out of alignment. There's a difference between a compliment and encouragement. A compliment focuses on what you did. Encouragement focuses on who you're becoming. A compliment might be, hey, great job, or man, you look good today. But encouragement goes deeper. I see how God is using your gifts. Thank you for modeling a godly marriage. I learned a great deal by watching you in this difficult situation. To a compliment looks backwards often, and encouragement looks forward. Keep going. Don't quit. The word encouragement means to put courage in. I've heard it said, compliments make people smile, but encouragement helps people persevere. The pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. This isn't to say they're merely flattering you. They are strengthening your heart through words that give courage, that give hope, that give direction. That's why genuine friendship is so powerful. A genuine friend doesn't just make you feel better. They help you become better. They help you grow in Christ. I want to tie together and make a connection between the first point, friends speak honestly, and the second point, friends speak encouragement. Because unless or until a friend speaks encouragement, their truth speaking has little to no impact. I have people in my life who at many times have spoken honesty both to me and to others about me, but I've never one time offered a compliment or encouragement. The words of truth they speak because they dominate one side and are way out of balance are like water off a duck's back. If all we ever do is correct people, eventually they stop listening. Encouragement doesn't weaken truth. It gives truth a place to land. So what I try and do now when someone is being critical or truth-telling is I pause and I reflect over that relationship and see if there is any encouragement that has created a runway for this honesty to land. If there's no runway, I allow the honesty to crash and burst into flames. It sounds harsh, but the scripture doesn't teach us to take the opinions and criticisms and so-called honesty from anyone and everyone. It says to be willing to receive it from a genuine friend. A genuine friend is one with balance of honesty and encouragement. And I personally have been convicted by this in my friendships, that I need to do a better job. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. So who are those genuine friends in your life who offer a balance of honesty and encouragement? Because they are a gift. So friends speak honestly. Friends encourage. Third, friends stay close. Verse 10. Do not forsake your friend or a friend of your family, and do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative who's far away. So Solomon's emphasizing the value of loyal, long-term relationships. Who has stayed with you when others have walked away? It says, do not forsake your friend. The word forsake implies abandoning or neglecting or taking the relationship for granted. Solomon is saying, don't walk away from faithful friendships. Don't neglect relationships that have been built over time. In a culture that often treats relationships so disposable, Proverbs calls us to be loyal. I have a great friend from my college days that I still connect with. In fact, Lori and I were on vacation a couple years ago out on the West Coast, and we went to Washington, and then we went to Oregon where he lives, and we spent several days with he and his wife. We played baseball together in college, and we were both catchers. And because I was the better catcher, he also played outfield. I mean, I'm from the state, the fields of dream, but I only say that because sometimes Brian joins us online. Sorry, Brian. Loyal friends are such a gift. They've seen your success. They've seen your struggles. They've been there for you during good days and bad days. They carried your burdens. They've celebrated with you. They've cried with you. And it goes on to say, and do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative that is far away. So Solomon recognizes that some friendships have these incredible, deep roots. These are people who have walked with you, maybe with your family for years, for decades. And at the same time, presence matters. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. To which some say, there's a reason my relatives are far away, right? But you have friends, you have people that God has brought into your life that you've built this incredible, genuine friendship with, this biblical, genuine friendship with that you turn to. When disaster strikes, the neighbor is near. The friend answers the phone. The trusted person shows up. A genuine friend who lives nearby may become God's provision in a moment of crisis. We live in a highly mobile culture. People move, jobs change, churches change, neighborhoods change. And as a result, if you look at your phone, like my, you probably have hundreds of contacts in your phone, but who are you calling at 2 a.m.? So the question becomes, who has earned the right to walk with you through difficulty? Who are you showing up for? Friends speak honestly, friends encourage, friends stay close. And the last one, friends help you grow, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. First, let's look at the word sharpen. It is clearly not a word used to suggest mental sharpness, as in making us smarter. The word carries this idea of sharpening an edge or improving usefulness or refining effectiveness or making something better suited for its purpose. I saw one of these for the first time this last week, a little handheld grinder. Thank you, Pastor Lucas. This is Pastor Lucas's. But I want you to think for a second, with that in mind, with this grinder in mind, what is the goal of sharpening? Genuine friends sharpen our thinking. They challenge our assumptions and help us to better see our blind spots. Sharpening confronts pride and selfishness and anger and compromise. Sharpening encourages us towards Christ to keep going. Sharpening makes us better leaders and better parents and spouses and coworkers and friends. Just last week, we were in a conversation at lunch, and I was kind of just listening in, and Lucas was talking to somebody, talking about how you're supposed to sharpen your lawnmower blades every year. This isn't one of mine. No, that's yours, yeah. It looks good. Every year, and I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't say this out loud, but I counted when I bought my mower. And I'm like, I've never sharpened my blades. Honestly, I didn't really know you're supposed to do that. So I was talking to Lucas about it. He's like, you know, I got this little handheld grinder we can use. He said, just bring it over. I'll sharpen it for you. So I brought him over and he sharpened it for me. And then I reinstalled them. And he took one blade at a time like this. And he held it on his trailer and he sharpened this side and then he sharpened this side in no time at all. What, 30 seconds maybe on each side of the blade? I was like, wow, that's awesome. This is like the most famous verse in the chapter. Iron sharpening iron isn't pleasant. It's friction, it's pressure, it's heat, it's sparks, it's noise, and the sharpening process is uncomfortable. How effective do you suppose it would be to only sharpen half of the blade and then the other half's like, ah, that looks pretty good, and we just leave it? Of course, it would still cut the grass, but it wouldn't be the most effective. Iron sharpening iron requires two people. Mutually, there's accountability and sharpening. Sharpening only works in relationships where there's trust, where there's, listen to this, this is such a key word, where there's invitation. When someone invites another person to speak truth into their life, hold them accountable, point out the blind spots and so on, it opens the door for this deep spiritual growth. God frequently uses people to expose weaknesses, to challenge our assumptions, to strengthen our character. But as I said in point number one, I say it again here, you don't always get to be the one holding the grinder. Just look at people's lives and like, we need to fix that corner. We need to fix this. We need to fix that. But you're the only one who holds it. And you're not open to sharing the grinder. Are your relationships making you stronger or are they making you weaker? Who challenges you to follow Christ? Who challenges you to be faithful? What relationships currently sharpen you? And you've given that invitation, you've invited people in saying, hey, would you, in our relationship, because it's genuine, would you sharpen me? And I'll sharpen you if you're open to that. It's invitation. When people just walk up with a grinder and they start sharpening your life, and you haven't asked them to do that, that can get ugly in a hurry. Here's the one thing. So I have a staple up here. I didn't put this on my desk, but Pastor Anthony said, I like all your props. What would you do if something just showed up on your table? How would you incorporate it into your sermon? I'm thinking I can't think of anything. Sorry. Here's the one thing. Maybe it'll come to me. Take time this week to thank a friend or friends God is using in your life to help you grow as a follower of Christ. Thank a friend who speaks truth into your life. Thank a friend who encourages you. Thank a friend who remains loyal. And thank a friend who sharpens you. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as someone in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. Let's button this up, and we'll staple, and I'll come to an end. God, thank you for this great morning. And I know, God, when I look at passages like this, and I see the truth of Scripture and the value of these genuine relationships, it's convicting. And sometimes it can reinforce loneliness because we read scripture like this and we think, I don't have anybody in my life like that. I don't have anybody that there's a balance where they speak truth, but they also encourage me. And somebody who's loyal, who sticks by my side no matter what, and somebody who's willing to be in this mutual sharpening relationship. In fact, God, to be honest, at times, for some, it can feel really, really lonely. God, I pray that this week you would just open our eyes because it's quite possible that you've already brought those people around us and we're missing it. And Lord, that we would be willing to invest as well, that we would be willing to step out of our comfort zone and invest in a much deeper relationship than just something on the surface. You created us for connection, God. In Jesus' name, amen.